I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 461. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. As we get started today, I recognize engaging God's Word for yourself can feel daunting. And while our featured song will give us fresh inspiration as to where to study, the episode guide will give you the interaction tools you need to dig in. Grab your episode 461 guide at michellenezat.com/461download. And if you're already subscribed to my email list, the guide is in your inbox, ready to help you discover and meditate on God's Word in new ways. Let's get started. The next time you look at a stained glass window, consider that it is made up of broken pieces of glass, artfully arranged to display a masterpiece, a picture that isn't visible until the pieces are arranged by the master artist. You know, the bigger picture isn't fully seen until all the pieces are put together, and especially in stained glass in churches, they often point to the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And Amanda Nolan's song, Broken Pieces, reminds us that God doesn't waste any part of our story as he puts our broken pieces together to create his masterpiece. And it actually reminds me of another broken pieces story in Scripture. And I can't wait to jump into God's Word. But before we do that, let's listen. I give you I love to study the narrative stories of the Old Testament, and as I considered how to harness the power of this song, I wanted to study a broken pieces story. And I immediately thought of Ruth and Naomi's story of brokenness and God's redemption. That's what this song is about too. So let's study this in Scripture and then harness the power of the song to remind us of what we've studied. So the book of Ruth is a powerful, dramatic story of love and redemption. It's only 4 chapters. It's easy to read through several times before diving into study techniques. And I was visiting with a friend this week who said she forgets that she can read through to get the context of the story before diving in to study further. She admitted that she often gets snagged by the details and just doesn't give herself permission to read through and then go back. And she's right. I think we've trained ourselves to examine the trees, but we forget that the individual ideas and verses that we're studying are in a forest that has a beauty that we will never discover if we are examining one tree. And while that is a missed opportunity, it can also lead us into error. You know, I'm going to link to a Bible Project video in the show notes this week. It is the first in a series on how to read biblical narrative. It gives this wonderful example of how we can misread narratives in the Bible when we focus in on one scene without correctly positioning it in the entire story. And so that is why my favorite Bible interaction tool exercise, I call these exercises bites for short, but my favorite bite is reading Scripture in context. So in this case, read the entire story of Ruth. On the last episode, I had you read 7 chapters in 2 Samuel to get the context of a story. So it's going to be a little bit different every time. I have a guideline of reading the chapter before the chapter and the chapter after a focus verse or an inspiration verse. That's just a guideline. So in this case, you would, to get the entire context of Ruth, you have to read the whole story of Ruth, which is all 4 chapters. So if you are familiar with the book of Ruth, I ask that you read it as if you're approaching it afresh. You know, it is a love story, but it's not a romance. The story is about the loyal love between Ruth and Naomi. And Christopher Ashe puts it this way. He says, what shines through the book is the loving kindness of Ruth for Naomi and loving kindness of Boaz also ultimately to Naomi through, though mediated by Ruth. These deeply winsome examples of kindness are the instruments that the covenant God uses to weave his purposes of worldwide salvation, purposes that will culminate in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. And so that is the big picture idea that I want you to keep in mind as you are reading Ruth for the first time, or as you are possibly rereading Ruth. Now, on the last episode of More Than a Song, we talked about hesed, loyal love, steadfast love, loving kindness. And this word, hesed, is used in the book of Ruth. So any meditation or study that you did on this word from the last episode, we're going to shine a spotlight on any study or any effort that you made last time as you study Ruth. So that'll be really exciting for you if you've put in that work. I'm going to go ahead and link to the Bible Project video on Hesed again. It was worth rewatching for me after I studied Ruth. And so because I was looking at Hesed from last time, from the idea that God's steadfast love is better than life, his Hesed is better than life. And then here I see it displayed in the life of a human. So it was very interesting to kind of rewatch that video, kind of the word study video that I used last time. So even if you watched it after you study Ruth again, maybe watch it again. It might have the same effect for you. Now, maybe you say, I don't know how to find time to read and study my Bible. And my answer to that is one bite at a time. Now, I know I'm cheesy. I can't help it. But let's just say you take the bite of reading through Ruth on one day. And then the next day you take the bite of listening to an audio version of Ruth. You could potentially do that several days in a row until you open a window of time to interact with the text more. So if you do that, then you're already taking the bite of repetition. And let's say you throw in another bite of listening in a different translation every time you listen to it, or reading it in a different translation every time you read it. And that will be taking the bite of reading in various translations. Now, the big ideas that I want you to consider this week could actually be meditated on during these reading and listening times. So, because I want you to consider some big themes and some big ideas. So these things have to be considered as you consider the whole. And so a small book like Ruth is the perfect training ground to get you to do that. So every time you approach Ruth one bite at a time, you are thinking about maybe one of these big ideas. And I'm going to give you five. So if you just did that for 5 days during the next couple of weeks, then you open up a period of time that you could maybe interact with the text a little bit more. Then you'll have this wonderful foundation. Then I also took the bite of consulting an outside resource. I'm going to mention Christopher Ashe throughout this episode, and I have used his book, Teaching Ruth and Esther, in my preparation for this episode. I will link to this resource in the show notes. It's fabulous. And so I quote him a lot throughout this episode because he really taught me a lot as I studied utilizing his resource to help guide me. Now, as we dive into the story of Ruth, I want to share some tips on reading Old Testament stories. And I've mentioned that I've been writing a book. And as the author of the story that I'm writing, there are some big ideas that I want to portray. And the things happening to the characters I've developed, they're going to drive the story along, but the theme is always top of my mind. So as I'm entering this rewrite phrase, I'm seeing some weak areas that I didn't really highlight that theme. So as I'm rewriting, I'm going to highlight that theme. The author of the Old Testament story of Ruth, this was true for that author. They had some themes that you can clearly see. And if you can clearly see them, it's because the author put them in there. Both the human author who penned it, but also capital A author of the Holy Scripture, which is God. And while God's word is living and active, we need to consider that the original author had an intent with telling the story. And again, God, as the author over all of it, has an overarching goal as well, because the Bible, while it's made up of individual books from various genres written by over 40 men over thousands of years, it tells one grand story pointing us to Christ. So this story fits in that overarching goal of God's authorship on the Bible as a whole as well. So as we read these stories, take the bite of remembering that the people portrayed in these stories were real. These are not fictitious tales. They are true narratives. And Christopher Ashe says, we must ensure that our reading and teaching of the narrative draws out what the Bible writers have put in, rather than imposing upon the story our own preconceptions. And this is timely advice, especially in the book of Ruth. I'm going to share a few ways that we could take a wrong turn when reading Ruth. And they almost always have to do with our own preconceptions as we approach the text. And just as an aside, you should not put yourself in the text, especially as you first read and study. You know, God is the hero of every Bible story and of the whole Bible, with Christ as the visible hero. But we tend to put ourselves in the story of God's word. And so we see things in the text that God never really intended. And let's be honest, you know, we often cast ourselves into that hero role. And so I leave you with four steps that Christopher Ashe shares with us. First, we renounce our proud instinct to make ourselves the hero. Number two, we watch to see what we learn of God the Father and the unseen hero of every story, which is Christ. I love the Storybook Bible says, every story whispers his name, and this is true. When we watch to see what we learn about God first, that's taking the bite of starting with God. Number three, we read carefully to see if the shape of any of the human characters in the story can shed light on the perfect shape of the Christ to come. For the human hero of any Bible story will sometimes in some way foreshadow Jesus, so we can look for that. And then number four, we will read the story as men and women in Christ, expecting the spirit of Christ, who is the hero, to be shaping in some way our stories. So the line, therefore, is not from Old Testament hero to me, okay, but rather from Old Testament hero to Christ, and only then to me in Christ. Yes. Oh, from Old Testament to Christ and then to me in Christ. I think I'm going to be saying that a lot more in the future. This is the most succinct way I've heard it said. It's just so good. From Old Testament to Christ and then to me in Christ. So I don't have time on this episode to teach through all four chapters of Ruth. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but my goal is to inspire you to read the text for yourself. I hope I'm able to do that. I hope today I'm going to whet your appetite to dive into Ruth. But if you've never read Ruth before, it is a sweet story of love and noble character and redemption. Naomi and her husband leave Bethlehem in the Promised Land, and they move to Moab during a famine. And their sons actually marry in Moab, and they marry Moabite women. But while in Moab, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, he dies, and so do both of their sons. So at the beginning of the story, Ruth decides to return to Bethlehem, and one of her daughters-in-law comes with her. And the thing is that they're both widows. And in this time in history, you know, a woman devoid of the protection and provision of a man was in deep distress. And so we need to read it again with that historical context in mind, not being upset at the historical context, but just recognizing it. So as the story unfolds, we see an as it turned out moment where Ruth ends up gleaning grain in the field of a man of noble character. His name is Boaz, and he stands in direct contrast of the historical setting that they're in. You know, the story starts out in the days when the judges ruled, which was a treacherous and lawless time in history. And so as we go back to the story and this as it turned out moment, or literally, I love this, as her chance chanced is what this literally means. Ruth gleans grain in a field of Boaz, who happens to be one of Naomi's kinsmen redeemers. And so through trusting obedience to her mother-in-law's advice, Ruth approaches Boaz to ask him to step up and exercise his role as kinsman redeemer. There are many more beautiful and dramatic details, but he does step up as kinsman redeemer. He marries Ruth. They have a baby who is in the line of King David, and then ultimately in the lineage of Christ. It is a very dramatic story with hints of what is to come, exciting twists and turns. if you choose to read it that way. So you might be tempted to read it as a love story between Ruth and Boaz. Read closer. It's more about the love between Ruth and Naomi than anything else. So that's maybe one wrong turn that you could make. You might be tempted to wonder what people were feeling as you read the account. And here's something to think about. It's very rare for Hebrew storytellers to give us a window into what people felt like. The general pattern is that what people do and say reveals their hearts. Think on that. So don't take the wrong turn of trying to ponder what they might be feeling. I think that will take you into a place that the author did not intend. You might be tempted to judge the decisions of some of the characters as bad or good based on our own presuppositions. You might want to boo Orpah, which is Naomi's other daughter-in-law, who chooses not to return to Bethlehem with her. Or you might boo the kinsman redeemer that was first in line to redeem and didn't step up to do so. Resist some of those temptations. Pay careful to the details that the author put in the story. There's so much in there. We don't have to taint it with our own thoughts. So the book of Ruth offers a foreshadow of the gospel. It's not a direct illustration of it, but there's so many beautiful details that foreshadow and really kind of flesh out the good news of Christ. And so I'm going to get you started in chapter one, but as you read, look for five things. And you can look for these things in chapter one and then continue to look for these kinds of details as you read through. But number one, look for the names of people. So the beginning of the chapter starts with a flurry of names until really the only name left is Ruth because they've all died or they've left. Even Naomi changes her name to Mara, which means bitterness, because she is so broken at this point in her life. And as you continue to read Ruth, pay attention to when they use names and when they don't, and when the name shows up again. It's just very fascinating and interesting if you think about, if you hone in on that detail. All right, number two, as you begin to read Ruth, consider the places mentioned. Bethlehem is in the land of Judah, and the other place that was mentioned is Moab. And we see these places repeated. And so the repetition tells us that the author wants us to make much of the places. And so let's do that as we read through Ruth. You know, Bethlehem is in the land of promise, and Moab is a land cursed by God. You can take the bite of following the cross-reference to Numbers chapters 22 to 25 to see that these are the people who hired Balaam to curse the Israelites. And in Deuteronomy 23, it says, "No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet you with bread and with water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. But the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. Instead, the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loved you. You shall not seek their peace or their prosperity all your days forever." So as you recognize that truth, that historical context, now you're going to read it in a very different way. And so I love how Christopher Ash puts it. This is not, things were difficult in town A, and so we migrated to town B to find food. No, this is more like, things were difficult in our home country, so we immigrated to join the Islamic State in Syria. It's that kind of contrast. All right, number three, the next thing to consider is the verb to turn or return. It's mentioned 12 times just in this first chapter. In English, it can be translated turn, return, take them back, go back, or arriving. But the book of Ruth prefigures a return to Jesus Christ, in whom the covenant promises are fulfilled. Think about that as you're reading. And even as we see the broken pieces of Naomi's life, we see that it was God who caused her to return to the place of promise and hope. Ruth 1:21 says, "I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty." Empty though she was, it was the Lord who brought her back. All right, number four, I'm rushing through this, but hopefully you can grab those show notes in the episode guide to help you study this on your own. But number four, the word has said, loyal love. It's mentioned three times in Ruth, Ruth 1:8, "But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me.'" So that word hesed is kindly, right? That's that loyal love. And you could say it asks for God's hesed as they have shown hesed to Naomi. So really, it's almost like it was mentioned twice. Ruth 2:20 says, and Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness, whose hesed, has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And this speaks directly of God's loyal love. And then in Ruth 3:10, it says, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness, hesed, greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men. This is Boaz speaking to Ruth, whether poor or rich. So this speaks directly to Ruth's loyal love. Again, a loyal love to Naomi, not to Boaz. But keep that in mind as you read. You know, also this hesed is of God and is expressed in the flesh and blood kindness shown by human representatives who act to show this kindness on God's behalf. For example, you can see the hesed of Boaz, even though it's not specifically attributed to him in a verse. It doesn't say Boaz's kindness or Boaz's, but it's evident, okay? And then number five, finally, look for the motif of emptiness and fullness. So in Ruth 1:21, I read it earlier, Naomi says, I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? And yet at the end of the story, we read in Ruth 4, verse 14, the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. So you see empty to full, emptiness to fullness, and you can see it over the course of the book of Ruth. And as we wrap up today, I want to focus in on this concept of turning and returning. You know, if we read Ruth like episode one of a four-part miniseries, we see the decision dramatized in this episode of chapter one, ultimately between returning to Christ and staying away from Christ. So only by turning or returning to Christ can he take your broken pieces and put them back together, like our song talks about. You have to leave the land of death to return to the land of promise. Life in Christ is your promised land. You cannot dwell in the cursed land and expect to be filled. Any filling that is in the cursed land is temporary, and death is quick on its heels. But to turn to Christ, it's a costly decision. And it was for Ruth. She had to leave behind all reasonable hope in exchange for trusting the covenant God of her mother-in-law. Ruth foreshadows all true repentance. When Naomi urges her to leave, she responds, do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And then she proceeded to live by faith and trust. So to return to Christ is not only costly, it might be painful. You know, God often needs to empty us to cause us to return. It may be that your felt emptiness that hurts so much right now is part of God's severe mercy to keep or to bring you back to Christ or keep you utterly dependent on Christ. It may hurt, but in the end, he is your only hope. So what's next? Well, read and or listen to Ruth several times. One time, pay attention to the names of people, when they're used and when they're not. Another, read through, consider the places and the significance of these places. Following some of those cross-references may give you the historical context you need. Read Ruth again to consider the theme of turning and returning. Consider what you know of God's loyal love, his hesed, and how it's displayed in this narrative. And then finally, give thought to the change from empty to full and all the beautiful drama that unfolds to lead from one to the other as you give your broken pieces to God to make a masterpiece of your life. And while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, Michelle@MichelleNeesat.com. Hop on Twitter @MichelleNeesat or Instagram @MichelleNeesat or on Facebook. Michelle L. Neesat is my public page, and we can talk about what you're learning. And if you didn't catch it, I had a special bonus Friday with Friends episode that came out just this last Friday where I interviewed Amanda Nolan about her song, Broken Pieces, and some of the Bible interaction tools that she uses in her study. It was really a great interview. I hope you you catch that special edition of Friday with Friends that came out just last Friday. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network. Check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. And then don't forget to grab that episode guide at michellenezat.com/461download. It'll walk you through your studies these over the next couple of weeks. And then with that in mind, I do want to thank my newest subscribers who have subscribed lately, like Vicky from Kentucky, Heather from New York, Mary Beth from Maryland, Joy from Texas, Angel from California, Deanne from Georgia, Jacob from Oregon, Laura from New Jersey, Becky from Ohio, Dawn from Virginia, Princess from Hawaii, Amanda from New Mexico, Haldor from Iceland, Jennifer from California, and Kelly from New Jersey. Welcome. Now, don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at michellenezat.com, through iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can follow on Spotify or through Stitcher Radio or your podcast listening app of choice. And if you haven't left a review yet, do that today by heading over to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next time, I will be featuring I See Grace by Micah Tyler to dive into scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/461. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.